You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
In one of the most terrible confluences in American history, the 1930s began with two devastating events, a stock market crash and an ecological disaster in the plains of Oklahoma. In her fourth novel, I Will Send Rain, Ray Meadows tells the story of the Bell family who struggle against the drought-stricken environment of the Dust Bowl, economic collapse, and a destroyed community to maintain their unity as a family. It's published by Henry Holt, and I'm very pleased to welcome Ray Meadows to our show today. Hello.
Hello. Thank you so much. It's a delight.
Had you visited Oklahoma before you wrote this book?
No, I had never been to Oklahoma. In fact, I did not visit until after I finished the book. I did so much research about Oklahoma, about the period, and I felt like I had kind of created a fictional landscape in my head, so I wanted to wait until after.
And a few writers have done that sort of thing. Saul Bellow was very proud of the fact that he had not been to Africa when he wrote Henderson the Rain King.
Right. It's definitely a risk you take because you could end up with it somewhere that looks nothing like the place. But I felt like when I actually did go that it ended up being pretty true to the landscape.
But you say that you were struck by its beauty. Aren't the Great Plains quite flat and featureless?
Yeah, and you know, I was so used to looking at photographs. I spent hours, countless hours, looking at the FSA black and white photographers, you know, photographs from the era.
Dorothea Lange,
yes. And when I finally did go, I went in the summertime after it had rained, and it was really quite beautiful. It was stunning. The grass was green, and it's just a very different feel. The sky is endless, and I could kind of sense that tie to land that people had.
There was another severe drought in 2012. Are people still farming in that area? Isn't it kind of scary to know that at any time you could suddenly not have rain for a couple of years?
Definitely. And I had a Department of Agriculture representative tell me that farmers were the biggest gamblers he knew. And I think that that land in general is not great for farming. And right now, about 30% of it is in what's known as in a reserve program that the government pays farmers not to farm, to plant grassland and let it go. And yes, you're right, they are coming out of another massive drought. And there's certainly a way of life to live by the elements in that way.
You've said that you've been somewhat obsessed with mother-daughter relationships. Your last book was Mercy Train. It was even originally called Mothers
yes.
and Daughters.
Yes.
What fascinates you about that in particular, other than the fact that you're a woman and you're a mother?
That's right. No,
So you're a daughter and a mother.
I'm a daughter and a mother, and that definitely has come around since I have had my own children. But I think particularly for this book, I was very interested in not only the relationship between a woman and her daughter, but the way that a daughter can do things differently, and also the fears and hopes that the mom has for the daughter in this book. And they're both very different individuals, but they share some of the same desire.
Because the farming is such an important part of their life, and whether you continue farming or not is a concern.
Yes.
Especially for a woman who's could feel trapped in that kind of life.
Most definitely. And I think Annie, the mother in I Will Send Rain, is very much worried that her daughter will feel trapped in the way that sometimes she has felt. And I think she wants her daughter to experience life differently.
Your characters can't escape the dust. It's in their hair, their mouths. It coats the animals in the barn. We're talking about, what, 1934 or so?
Yes, yeah. I mean, the drought lasted for 10 years, but the major dust storms were right, in those few years around the mid-30s.
And you've set this in a place called Mulehead, Oklahoma. You make that name up?
I did make that name up. It's based on a small town in the panhandle called Boise City, Oklahoma. So I did base it on somewhere, but yes, it is created.
Although the wheat harvests are drying out and many of their neighbors are packing up their belongings, the Bell family stays in Oklahoma. They don't become California Okie as the people in Grapes of Wrath did. What would make a family like the Bell stay?
Well, that was one of the things that compelled me to write the book. In fact, I think we're very familiar with the migrant American narrative of the Steinbeck era. And I was very interested in why people stayed. And I think that I got that answer a little bit in exploring these characters, but also in visiting the place. I went with a wonderful photographer, went with me to that trip back to the Panhandle. Her name is Christina Page. And we had, you could see the kind of through line of grit and determination and self-reliance. And there's a certain sense of becoming part of the land. And a lot of the homesteaders who went to the panhandle came from nothing, and they felt that their land was all that they had. So they just thought it would be better next year.
What's it like to be left alone in a place that's going through such a terrible time?
I think it is very isolating, and I read these accounts of people when the first dust storm hit that they really felt like it was the apocalypse. They had no idea. They felt that they were being somehow singled out for bad behavior, and I think it can feel like the end of the world.
And one of the male character, the most important male character here, Annie's husband Samuel, has made a recommitment to God because he feels that he's suffering some kind of divine punishment?
Definitely. And I think that he turns to faith in a way because he sees no other answer. And for some reason, faith for him turns into the way that he sees out, even though it becomes somewhat unhinged in the process.
And I'm not going to give our audience a spoiler in that regard, talking about what actually happened. They did farm recklessly and improperly.
Yes.
So to some degree, they did bring this upon themselves.
Most definitely. I mean, that was one of the things about the Dust Bowl that I didn't understand until starting to research for this book, is that it was largely a man-made problem. I mean,
this was not the best soil in the world to begin with.
No, it was terrible. And once they ripped off the topsoil, I mean, ripped off the grasslands that held the topsoil down, it was just, you know, the land was ruined and ready for the wind to pick it up.
And we're still seeing problems along those lines. Monarch butterflies are disappearing because milkweed has largely been destroyed in this area. And the monarchs love to go there. They love milkweed.
Yeah, I mean, it's astonishing to me that farming still goes on, and it's still the major industry in the area, because it is not, the land is not suitable for farming, quite honestly, and the environment isn't. And they still have dust storms. We got to see photographs of a dust storm they had last year, and seeing it in color was quite something, because it's just not what you're used to seeing.
Can't the soil be enriched? Just a lot of compost?
You know what? I think it's a combination of the wind. It's a really windy spot. And so,
because it's so flat?
It's so flat, and it's part of the High Plains territory. What they do a different kind of farming now, where they leave the stubble of plants in to hold down the soil. It's not the best place. I think it will continue to go on.
But very different from the Oklahoma of the musical?
Not quite as cheerful. I think one of the reasons for the problems in the 30s, also they switched to a kind of plow. It's called a disc plow, and it's a shallow slicing plow, and that made it so the topsoil was freed up to be picked up by the wind.
My guest is Rae Meadows. Her latest novel is I Will Send Rain. The other male character is Fred, the young boy in the family. He suffers from dust pneumonia, and he's mute, but you allow your readers to be privy to his thoughts and attitudes. Is his family as aware of how he feels as we are?
That's a good question. I think that Annie, his mother, to a certain extent, has a feeling that she understands him more than he can communicate. I think Fred is a very important character in the novel, and that he's a bit of a bellwether for what happens to everyone.
You talked about being influenced by Dorothea Lange, but some of the most prominent chroniclers of the Dust Bowl were women, like mm-hmm. Caroline Henderson, a mm-hmm. panhandle farmer who wrote for the Atlantic Monthly. There was Sonora Babb, whose notes were used, some say stolen, by John Steinbeck to develop The Grapes of Wrath. Were they available to you for your research?
I read a lot of Caroline Henderson's letters, which were fantastic. I mean, she filled the letters that she wrote to various people with the amount of detail that's astounding about what they had to do to keep their farm alive. And I think what a lot of people did is subsist on their own gardens for many years, and that's all that they had to go on.
Let's talk about you for a moment. You were born in Belgium, although you moved to Ohio first?
There was a short stint in Chicago, where my parents are both from. But yes, I grew up mainly in Cleveland and in San Diego.
And spent some time in Minneapolis. You now live in Brooklyn.
That's right.
But a lot of your work is in Oklahoma.
I know.
Utah, Wisconsin.
It's funny. I find that I write better about a place if I don't live there. I think there's a certain attraction for me to a life of agriculture, even though I've never lived that life. And I think for me, I create a fictional universe out of those elements.
That whole business about how autobiographical is,
right,
a novel doesn't really apply in many cases. But
no,
it did have some meaning for your first novel, Calling Out.
Yes.
Weren't you working, answering phones at an escort service in Salt Lake City, of all places?
I was. When I was a grad student, I had two jobs. One was as an obituary writer, and one was answering phones at an escort service.
Now, are escort services business like that very common in the center of Mormon culture?
They are maybe more common than you think. When I was doing that back 15 years ago, there was a certain element of legality applied to this escort service where I worked. I think that's not the case anymore. I think it's just like most other places. But it was fascinating. I took the job not thinking that I would write about it. It really was just something that was flexible, but it ended up being very rich material.
And got you thinking about other things. The main,
yes,
character in that book goes from being on the phones to becoming an escort herself.
Yes, which I did not do.
I wasn't even suggesting it. But your last three novels, No One Tells Everything, Mercy Train, and then this one, mm-hmm, I'll Bring Rain, have taken place in the past to varying degrees.
Yes, yes. And I have found a real connection to writing about kind of historical periods. Actually, for my next book, the next thing I'm working on, I plan to return to the town of Mulehead, but in the 21st century.
And what are your thoughts about the Dust Bowl and what it says about America today?
You know, I do think that there is a relevance, not only to the environmental concerns and the global warming and the kind of issues and the kind of drought in California, but I think that there is, at the heart of this town and in the Oklahoma Panhandle, a fear and a sorrow that is not to be discounted. I think we see it in the election, and I think that it's very easy to see the roots of where that comes from. And I saw that very much from the 30s, also maintaining it through today.
Wasn't there a film project based on Calling Out, the first novel?
There was a film project. It had multiple iterations of a couple of different directors, and then it never saw the screen. It never was made.
It sounds to me like ideal material for a movie.
I thought so too. But movies are hard to get off the ground.
So you said you're returning to the Dust Bowl in the next novel?
Well, I'm returning to the city of Boy City, which is Mulehead in the book, but a modern-day version of it. I was so taken with the town when I went, and I'm hoping to... I haven't decided yet, but I would also... I'm considering using Birdie, who is the daughter character in the book, as an old woman in the new novel.
So that'll be closer to today.
Yes, yes.
Meanwhile, this book takes place in the 30s during the Depression and during the time of the Dust Bowl. It's getting great reviews.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I Will Send Rain, and it is published by Henry Holt. My great thanks to Ray Meadows for being on our show.
Thank you so much, Leonard.